And we have a special treat right now. We're going to introduce you to Michael Philip Edwards. And Michael is involved in the production of Runt. He is the production of Runt, the writer as well as the actor. And this is not a biographical play. Good morning and welcome, Michael.
Good morning, and how are you?
I'm very good. And it's really an honor to have you here with
Thank
us
you.
This morning. Tell me a little bit, before getting into the specifics of your life, let's just talk a little bit, generally speaking. You grew up in Jamaica?
I was born in Jamaica, left when I was five. We were to go to Chicago, but then the story takes us to Toronto. So landing in January in Toronto, that was the immigration to North America.
So Jamaica was probably hot and warm and beautiful, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in Toronto in January.
Very distinct memory.
Can you remember? I was going to say, you can remember that at the age of five?
I remember the plane flight. And I remember getting off the plane, and it was like,
ooh. Were you thinking you wanted to go back home?
I was actually, it's a testament of spirit. Yeah. I actually was excited by it.
I can remember a friend of mine from Brazil, the first time, and she was very new to Pittsburgh and the United States. And the first time it snowed, you know, we were all kind of grousing about having to get out the snow brushes. She went outside just, you know, it's like, look at this. Never seen anything like that.
It's next.
So did your family stay in Toronto?
Yes, it's still there. Yeah, my mother was, you know, really dug in. And even the whole, we moved a couple times, but always within the same sort of 10 square mile area. She's still there.
And you chose to become a writer or actor, or what was your career path like?
I remember I rebelled and and took the took a serious acting training program, York University. Yeah, even at the time that we were there, there was some folks from around the world who've left since who really just grounded me in the craft and then the storytelling. And ironically, from the Caribbean, from Yale, from... We got down there for 4 years, and then shortly after York, I some successful things happened, and I went and moved to Los Angeles, and it's been almost 20 years in Los Angeles. There was a lot of everything: theater, radio, film. It's been quite a diverse career.
Oh, that's good, and congratulations. You know, well, several things caught my eye. One, when Janice Birley Wilson tells me something's really good, I know it's going to be really good. And secondly, when I see BBC Sony Gold Award for Best Radio Drama, I immediately know that my heart's pattering. That had to be very exciting for you to win that award and to have your work featured in that way.
Out of body.
Yeah.
The trick, the thing I remember, you know, I go to the audience and there was a $10,000 set upstairs in Edinburgh. I mean, there was a lot going on in Edinburgh. I borrow three chairs from the audience. And there's a, you know, there's an intense lighting plot and there's an intense story, a sound cue and everything. But when they came the first week and gave the award, I didn't expect it at all. But I was very proud of what it was, meaning I'd learned, I do respect my teachers, I do respect where I come from, and I was sort of proud for the family, even though it was me alone up there.
If you're just joining us, this is Michael Philip Edwards, who is the Jamaican-born, Canadian-based writer and actor who is appearing in Runt with a small R, quite deliberately, which is a story of his relationship with his father and his growth as a person, and is being performed right now at the Trust Arts Education Center through December 12th at 805 Liberty Avenue. So tell me about this work and when you thought of it, how you conceived it.
Well, here's what the work is largely based in mythology. And how I found that was, as I said, I want to do a one-man play. There was a few years that I wanted to do one. And then a couple circumstances came in. I found out that I was having a son the time I was married, and a boy was coming. Second thing was I saw a title of a play that was out in Los Angeles called Just Because It Happened to You Doesn't Mean You Have to Do a One-Man Play About It. And
that was the name of the
That
work?
Was the name of the play.
I like it. Just because it happened to you doesn't mean you have to do a play about it.
A one-man play about it. And
we should get that to Fran Lebowitz.
Well, it scared me. It scared me back in my hole. I said, let me go hide. But Joseph Campbell came up then, and the opposite happened as far as reading him, which was look at your life as a myth, see yourself as a hero. And when you do that, when you see yourself as a hero, when you do your private hero's journey, you have something then when you return to contribute to society. Your individual story has something to contribute to society, provided you look at it in a mythological way.
Interesting. So instead of staying inside of yourself and creating this one-person show from your own perspective, which certainly is one way of getting the job done, get that out-of-body experience that you referred to earlier, a different kind of one, and look back at your life and think of yourself as a mythological character.
Mm-hmm.
That's that reminds me of an old exercise where people challenge you to write your own obituary. You know,
wow.
What are you going to say about yourself? You
wow.
know, if you were to die, kind of morbid, sorry about that, but if you were going to die, you know, what would your obituary have in it? And it gets you to look at your life a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us ruminate by definition from the inside. So what did you do to, first, is your dad still living?
Oh, yeah.
So what, this play is largely about your relationship with him, right?
It is. It's what it ended up being. Like, with my son coming, I started writing while he was still in the belly. And, I wanted to clean house for my son. I said, I have fears, and I want to clean house for them. And I hadn't spoken to my father in 10 years. So there was a real point of writing.
And was that just a relationship of attrition, or was it, not
exactly
to get
that.
Too personal? Okay, because I think a lot of people don't realize that, all families have, I think, these aspects of them. It might not necessarily be a fight or a Hatfield and McCoy's kind of thing. Sometimes folks just fall out of touch and don't really talk to one another.
It was like a powder keg.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, ketchup or mustard on the burger and the tables would fly in the restaurant. We just didn't need to
Almost
talk.
Almost like an avoidance kind of thing.
The fight would start in two steps.
So baby's coming. Son is coming.
Mm-hmm.
How old is your son now?
11.
Wow. And you're thinking it's time to as we say in Pittsburgh, to red it up, to get it ready, to get life ready. And so you began to write kind of to clean up some of these feelings.
It's funny because I'd always written a journal. And here's the other process, too, and I'd share this, is as I was writing, I said I wrote what the play was going to be. And then I wrote sort of a journal. And long story short, I think I wrote over 200 pages, and the 60 pages of journal ended up being the play.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because it started coming together where, I'll never share this, but let me put the clown nose on and write this scene. And the clown nose went in the garbage, and the myth came to action.
Well, it could be that more formal work was your muse for the journal if you were doing it in parallel, too, but they were feeding off of each other.
And I just learned something new right now. that makes so much sense.
You think?
Yeah.
It takes a lot of courage to throw your life out there. What was your dad's reaction? I avoided it
for a long time and thought, this Jamaican culture.
Yeah.
I, at one point early in the performances, thought someone might show up with a gun and not to put my dad, but dad's
no,
like, what?
No.
What are you saying? No, but I mean, it was the fear. And that's the point I should make, too, is what I realized was the 5-year-old boy that was terrified. Like, my father watched it and said, well, none of that's me. how you doing? Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of you for doing your hero's journey. That's the message I eventually got from him, because that's the epiphany of the piece for me is what the child fears, seeing your parents argue, seeing the things, is a child interprets it, and those monsters, even when you grow up and rationalize, you need to deal with what the child saw, not your parents went, oh, we were just arguing over soap, so don't worry about it. No, that doesn't fly. When you were a child and they were arguing over soap, you saw two titans.
Yeah, you saw something very different.
And you have to, and so with this play, it's like, go back. And so he watches the play and goes, you're dealing with what you saw. And so let's talk about that, not you owe me this. I very much feel my father doesn't owe me a thing. That's what the piece gave me. It's how can I love him as him and see me as me?
What a healthy conclusion after going through that process. You're listening to the voice of Michael Philip Edwards, who is in Pittsburgh. He's based in Toronto.
LA.
Oh, mm-hmm. LA now. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. You went out there. I almost forgot. And he is in a show called Runt, which is at the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust Arts Education Center, 805 Liberty Avenue. I'll give you their phone number and website for showtimes, but the show opened a couple days ago and runs through December 12th. It's a beautiful building right at 805 Liberty Avenue. Mm. And I would love, if you're comfortable, if you could do an excerpt of a monologue or part of it, whatever you feel fit. We didn't have a chance to rehearse anything today. Mm. But I don't know if you need to set. And I guess the totality of the work, does it begin when you're five? Or is it really your ruminations as an adult about the past?
It's very candid. It's the first thing that happens is, you know, I'll go into it now, is just to clear a space and speak directly to the audience to say, we now begin a myth and set the tone for it, which is, you ever watch wild dogs eat? They don't play. They've got this system that decides who eats first, who eats last, who doesn't eat on any given night, and why. Ding, 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 feeding time. Seven big dogs show up ravenous to a trough. Top dog eats first. Everyone else hungry as hell but waiting because the top dog eats first. Dog number two will creep up. Top dog gives him a low growl, but dog number two can take it. That's why he's dog number two. The next and the next follow quickly, and the next all the way down to the last dog, Troy. Troy's this last dog, and he's going to sit and wait till everyone else is eaten. He will sit and wait. There might be something left for him in the trough, might not. Runt, my uncle called him. He's the runt of the pack. Tail between his legs, always apologizing with his eyes and head, never seeming to have because he doesn't know how to claim. And worst of all, to my eyes, he's one of the biggest dogs in the pack. Being a runt has got nothing to do with talent, skill, or size. It's about how much fear an animal allows to live within itself. That dog got too much fear in it. If he were a pig or a goat, Michael, I'd have shot him by now. Switching to my father. All right. All right. Hold on, Carol. Hold on. So what now? Is you get the last word in this house? No. We're no longer talking about that. I'm asking you a question. I'm asking you a question, Carol. Is you get the last word in this house? Missy, we're no longer talking about that. We're talking now about you thinking, you perceiving that the final word in this house now belongs to you. No. I am not drunk, you know. And if I were, the question would still be on the table. Is you get the last word in this house? Let me answer for you. Let me finish. You will let me finish. I am a man in a man's house. You are a woman in a man's house. A woman's frack and pot handle no belong pan man foot. You ain't heard that proverb, let me repeat it for you. A woman frack and pot handle no belong pan man foot. Have I ever laid a hand on you? Have I ever? No, I have not.
A man does not have to. His house is in order and trouble-free. Now, regarding our previous discussion, you know what? I do see your point, you know. I do see your point. You may even be right, but you're missing my point. And my point is that your being right or wrong in my house is beside the point. That is my son, and he's going to be a man raised by me, representative of me. His every action will be a light or shadow on who? You? Me. No son of mine ever going to see woman question my last word in my house. Michael, get out here!
And we'll see you there.
Wow. That's incredible. I've got chills as I, the transformation, as you head into the father character, is your that's just incredible to watch you do that. And wow, it's just amazing. You're quite an actor and a storyteller. And
I appreciate it.
You know, as you, when did the show open?
Have you Edinburgh, 2001.
Okay, so it's been. Wow, so you've been doing this for 10 years. Have you changed it at all? Of course, you've changed it in 10 years, I would think. But what I meant more was substantively or spiritually based on other thoughts that have come. Because I really think – and by the way, that was Michael. A lot of folks – driving, going up and down the dial, all of a sudden landed on you, and they're thinking, what was this? And I should know better. That was Michael Philip Edwards with a scene from Runt, which is running at the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust Arts Education Center now through December 12th. I've discovered as I get older, this is the voice of somebody who has a birthday coming up here, that more childhood memories seem to be coming out of my head as I age. Things really, I know they're true and I know they're accurate, but for whatever reason, I didn't remember them very well until something caused a neuron to cause them to clink down and come. So I'm wondering if in the last 10 years, doing this or just living life has caused you to remember different things about the actions that occur in the play that's caused you to change them a little bit.
Always, and the good question, even in performing it this time in Pittsburgh, there's a lot going on with regards to the evolution of the piece. At the beginning of it, it was 10 years not speaking and performing and angry and just indicting my father on stage as much as possible. And then as I walked his shoes, they say, in order to understand the monster, you have to become him. That happened, not because I'd designed, but I suddenly went, hang on a second. You know, even that scene I just performing it one night, I went, I have a son that I don't want, I hear how hard he's saying it, but I'd like to be a man for my son and not be diminished. So, I mean, my wife at the time said, let's make an agreement so that we don't make each other wrong in front of the son because of that scene. But he's saying it like, you know, you're going to be a small woman in order for me to be a man. That's that. But I learned why he did that. And then learned that I could make choices. And since then, there's been many evolutions of, and some of the scenes are extremely autobiographical. Mythical, again, they're inserted at the different points of sort of Campbell's thing. Mm-hmm. But when you walk the moment, you go, oh, that's why he did that. And I can make another choice. So I'm constantly learning.
Yeah, I've thought about my own parents in that same way. You know, after getting married 20-some years ago, I can remember thinking, well, our marriage is going to be different than my parents' marriage. We're going to, you know, treat each other a little differently. Not to say they treated each other poorly, but, you know, our way of relating to one another, of problem solving, of negotiating, right, going through life, it is different than my parents. And of course it is. We're four different people.
Right.
But I think as you're a child and as you're reaching maturity, you kind of figure your way is the best way, and why can't your parents see that?
Right.
At least
right.
That's
right.
The way I felt until maybe I hit 30 or so.
Man.
What a terrific play. And I what would you recommend age-wise for folks? Do you think teens and up could see the play in terms of the themes that are in it? I would think that it would work out okay if you're in Janice. I can ask I can ask you that. Let me get your mic on. Janice Burley Wilson is here too, and you can if you want. We're looking at some headphones. Let me just pop that up for you. Janice, thank you for bringing Michael to our attention. First of all, what a great performance. You brought this play here to town. Tell me about how you discovered the play and why it was so important for you to bring it here.
Good morning, Larry, and thank you for having us on the show. I saw the play at a theater festival about 4 years ago. I think it was 4 years ago, and I was blown away. I saw a lot of different theatrical pieces, but this was the piece that really touched me, and I wanted to share it with everyone. I wanted to make sure that people in Pittsburgh saw this play. So it's really been a project 3 years or 4 years in the making, bringing Michael to Pittsburgh. There were scheduling issues and a lot of different things. And then we finally had this wonderful space, the Pierce Studio in the Trust Education Center. So I thought, this is the time. I loved the play because I thought it was a different voice. I mean, he's Jamaican and Canadian background, so it's not a play. It's not the type of work that we necessarily get a chance to see all the time. And I know that you have the myth philosophy. I'll just, because I'm not a theater expert, I'll just call it a one-man play.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of different characters, and they come to life in this piece. I mean, you feel like there are different people there.
Yeah.
He just transforms, as you could see.
It's amazing. It really shocked me. I mean, this man just changed himself into something else.
Yeah, transformed, morphed into a couple different people. Yeah. And I just thought it was fantastic. And you were talking about how the piece changes over time. I saw it Thursday night, the preview night, and then I saw it last night, and it seemed different to me. You seemed like it changed a bit, and I guess that would happen just because you go through every day and something new happens, and then it maybe comes out in your work. But I just think that it's a wonderful play that so many people will be able to relate to, men, women, children. I mean, as you're talking about writing and how you deal with familial issues as a child. I want my children to see it because I want them to, I guess, learn how to deal with the changes that take place within a family, writing and that kind of thing. There's some language, but I think that if you're the parent that wants your child to be exposed to something really phenomenal and you can discuss the language or those issues beforehand, then I think that it's okay. But I think that it's appropriate for teens and children that are with their parents, knowing that they're adult situations, but everyone's, you know, fully clothed.
Yeah.
Nothing like that. It's nothing visual, but there are some language issues.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that most kids have already seen a lot of these issues in their own homes or in the homes of their friends, too.
Right.
And it creates talkable moments
for
talking about afterwards, too,
where
you know, here Michael is providing this wonderful springboard where maybe rather than talking about the specifics of your own relationships, you can use Michael as a way of gently dealing with the subjects without being so direct. And then after a while, you can come up with your own one-man show, but we'll let Michael do that first.
Well said.
I mean, my children are my two daughters that are 11 and 13. And actually, one of my daughters, the 11-year-old, was on your show. She's a writer. And so,
what's her first name?
Liza.
Oh, I remember Liza.
And they can't wait to see this show.
I didn't make that connection.
Yeah, so I'm gonna take them to see the show sometime next week. And I know that there'll be a lot of conversation in the car on the way home. But I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you. That's Janice Burley Wilson. And turning again to Michael Philip Edwards, I need a third name. This is Larry Michael Berger. anything else you'd like to mention? It's really been terrific to have you here.
I'm really grateful to Janice for I don't even see the bottom of how honored I am that she's brought me here to Pittsburgh, and even getting off the plane, you can feel the density and the appreciation for art and storytelling. And so I'm truly honored to be here and be brought here.
We're honored to have you.
Oh, my goodness.
And the acting community, they're thrilled. We had a wonderful workshop on the 29th, and they got so much out of it. And then seeing the performance afterwards, a lot of them have written letters saying that they got so much out of the workshop and the performance that they wanted to have another workshop. So we've scheduled two more for them next week.
Well, that's
so they've really embraced Michael, and he's got all kinds of new friends in Pittsburgh. And
look for more. Michael Philip Edwards, Facebook.
You can I was going to say, we got to work on moving you here.
Yeah.
That's what I think we ought to do.
But come see the play. The play is here. It's at its intimate. It's such an intimate and strong venue, that the Pierce Studio. I love it. And so, yeah, let them, you know, people come see it.
It runs again. What time today and tomorrow?
8 o'clock tonight, 2 o'clock tomorrow. All of the shows are at 8 o'clock if they're on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, and then 2 o'clock on Sunday. There's no intermission. Was it 90 minutes?
No, it's a 60. It's 1 hour. Solid.
Yeah, it's 1 hour of a very intense drama. It's a wonderful piece. So make sure that you get there to see it from beginning to end.
So you just invest two Gilligan's Islands. imagine how much better this is.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to think of it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But I hope you can get complete information if you go to pgharts.org, which we've linked to from our website in case you can't note that right now, or phone 412-456-6666. This is a great reason why we have the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust to make these things possible. Thank you very much, both.
Thank you.
Oh, your honor.
For being here. As we broadcast live from historic Allegheny Square in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh, you're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade.